I'm here to join you to make a little news.
Where did he come from?
My name is Pete Buttigieg. They call me Mayor Pete. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for President of the United States.
In a state that's mostly conservative, Pete Buttigieg is unapologetically liberal.
His parents were not particularly conservative, and he grew up in South Bend, which is more liberal than the surrounding areas.
Now, I come from Indiana as a Democrat.
His political views, social standards, private life, and public policies all follow that pattern.
There are people I love, people I trust, people who support me politically, who view this issue differently than I do.
He's quick with questions.
It's why among elected black officials in my community who have gotten into this race, by far most of them are supporting me.
Sharp with sound bites.
You should ask me if Black Lives Matter.
I want to hear you say.
Of course Black Lives Matter.
And to many people across the country, he's surprisingly inspiring.
If that was a choice, it was a choice that was made way above my pay grade.
And Pete Buttigieg wants to be your president.
Wasn't sure, would he be able to get the name recognition? Would he be able to appeal to people outside of our state and our region?
To cope with enormous change, American foreign policy for the future must be securely valued in American values, American interests, an American relationship.
He's running and he's raising money. Lots of it.
This is not an easy choice for anybody to face.
He's getting support. Lots of it.
He is someone who has done some tremendous work in our community.
So whether you believe in his policies or you believe he's got it all wrong,
we ask that instead of delivering pizza, the mayor deliver some respect for what police officers do and drop the politics.
It may be a good idea to get to know him. You're invited to take a few minutes to meet Pete.
More than a little bold, at age 37, to seek the highest office in the land. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. I've been looking forward to this. And when I was in second grade, I liked video games, too. And board games, some, but mostly video games. Now it's the other way around. I like board games better. Anyway, to answer your question, I went to a school called Montessori Academy at Edison Lakes, which is still a school right now, a little bit east of here.
Pete Buttigieg was born to Maltese parents in South Bend, January 19th, 1982. His father, Joseph, was from Malta, but moved to South Bend to teach at the University of Notre Dame, where he taught literature for 29 years.
Ignored far too long. That these have to be read, and everything she explored has to be read.
Pete was an only child. One of his loves, music.
I love music a lot, and really all kinds of music. I started taking piano lessons when I was a little kid, and did it all the way until I was 18, and then, always regretted this, I stopped.
Buttigieg answering kids' questions before his decision to run for president in a video called We the Kids.
And I didn't play for a long time, but eventually I started playing again, and now I have a piano at my house. And sometimes after a long day at work, when I've been working on a lot of difficult issues, I like to sit down at the piano and play something, and it helps me clear my mind a little bit, and it relaxes me too.
Buttigieg on keyboards for a rendition of Black Magic Woman on a campaign stop in Iowa.
Unfortunately, I'm not a very good singer. I just can't quite seem to hold a tune. And so I try not to inflict that on other people by sticking to piano and guitar. But like you, I love music a lot.
And his interests did not stop at music.
I wanted to be an astronaut. I thought that was going to be pretty cool. I like the idea of flying in a spaceship, pushing a lot of buttons. And it turns out my eyesight's really bad. If I didn't have my contact lenses in right now, I would have a hard time telling you from anybody else that I knew. And so that would have made it hard for me to be an astronaut.
Buttigieg says he was into video games as a kid, but he was also into academics, heavily into his studies.
Whether it's, you know, playing piano or learning Norwegian or reading so many books or, you know, being able to not just support people who are hosting races here, but go ahead and join in that half marathon.
Dr. Elizabeth Bennion is a political science professor at IU South Bend who's gotten to know Buttigieg and has interviewed him several times.
He seems really successful in everything he sets his mind to, and that's something that Americans find very attractive.
Buttigieg went to Harvard and Oxford University as a Rhodes Scholar.
When I was in college at Harvard, I studied history and literature. I also had a minor in Arabic, which is the language that's spoken in the Middle East, from Morocco all the way to Iraq, and in parts of Africa as well.
From We the Kids.
When I got to Oxford, I enrolled in a program called PPE, which stands for Philosophy, Politics, and Economics. And I found the studies very difficult, but also very rewarding. And I don't think I'd be able to do the work I do today if I hadn't had that education.
Bennion says Buttigieg's parents were an influence not only in his educational choices, but in his political and social direction.
Well, his political socialization happens in a similar way to other folks. So his parents were not particularly conservative, and he grew up in South Bend, which is more liberal than the surrounding areas. And so that certainly shaped him and his story.
When Buttigieg got out of college, he put his political acumen to work. Leaving behind those dreams of being an astronaut or an engineer, he went to work for several political campaigns.
I want to thank everybody in organized labor who has been helping my campaign. It's crunch time.
That included Jill Long Thompson for Congress.
The facts. Joe Donnelly is Indiana's most independent congressman.
And Joe Donnelly for Congress.
Attempts to privatize Social Security.
Buttigieg also turned down an offer to work on Barack Obama's Senate campaign in Illinois to work for John Kerry's campaign for president in 2004.
And standing with us in that fight, are those who shared with me the long season of the primary campaign.
In 2007, Buttigieg went to work as a consultant in Chicago for McKinsey & Company, a company that published management advice for large corporations. Buttigieg consulted for Best Buy, Blue Cross of Michigan, the Post Office, and the EPA. Something Buttigieg had not done that Kerry and many others had.
Our band of brothers doesn't march because of who we are as veterans, but because of what we learned as soldiers. We fought for this nation because we loved it, and we came back with a deep belief that every day is extra.
Serving as a member of the U.S. military, in 2009, he changed that, as he recalls, for We the Kids.
Even though there was a history of military service in my family, no one in my immediate family had served, so I didn't know very many people in the military when I was growing up. When I was in college, I met a couple of people who were in ROTC, but still didn't know much about it and didn't realize it was going to be something for me. It was only after I came home from my studies and was working for a company in Chicago that I began asking myself how I could serve, and found out that there's a way to get into the military called a direct commission officer program.
Coming up, he's no fortunate son, but people in South Bend would have to put up with his absence. Your opportunity to meet Pete.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Peter. I'm a student at the college.
Pete Buttigieg, age 21, at Harvard, talking to Senator Ted Kennedy at a forum.
It feels like a lot of your colleagues have adopted a posture of being, for whatever the Republicans are for, only less. The tax cut's just a smaller one, and the war just maybe not quite as quick.
You're listening to Meet Pete.
And then there are voices like your own, which are more forceful in opposition. I wonder if you see this as a split in the Democratic Party, and how you think, politically speaking, in the next few years, your party's going to sort out what it thinks the meaning of opposition is.
Well, I would...
In 2009, Pete Buttigieg joined the Naval Reserve as an ensign, but he was on his way politically. He just didn't realize how short the time would be before that political career would begin.
I was in the capital city most of the time, which is called Kabul. And Afghanistan's one of the poorest countries in the world, and of course a very dangerous place too. And one of the consequences of that is a lot of things you and I take for granted were not available to people living in the city. Even being able to get a glass of drinking water out of the kitchen that was safe enough to drink, or being able to have safety and security in the neighborhoods.
Buttigieg says that helped give him a sense of purpose for being there.
I also learned a lot about how to work with very different kinds of people. I was in a job where, even though I'm in the Navy, my commander was in the Air Force, and his commander was in the Army. And the nearest person who had me for a commander was in the Marines. So I learned to work with people from different branches of the military. They had different backgrounds, were from different parts of the country, different ideas about politics, different personalities.
He was promoted to lieutenant junior grade in 2011 and eventually to full lieutenant in 2013.
So over the years, we certainly talked about what we'd want to see happen in our country and in our city.
James Mueller is the new mayor of South Bend. He worked as Buttigieg's chief of staff.
He ran for state treasurer while I was out east working in D.C. and then won the mayor's spot. And then I didn't come home until toward the end of his first term. But he asked me to come home as his chief of staff, and I jumped at the opportunity to serve my hometown and take on such a big job.
I'm Pete Buttigieg, and I'm running for mayor because South Bend needs a fresh start. I was born right here in downtown South Bend, and I've spent most of my life within about a mile of my birthplace.
Buttigieg, age 29, in 2011, on WNIT Public Television.
I live close to downtown in the North Shore Triangle area, not far from where I grew up in a once vacant house that I'm restoring. I may not be an incumbent politician, but I have the right kind of experience when it comes to business and creating jobs. Our hometown is not dead, but we have to move quickly to establish a new economic direction for our city.
Ladies and gentlemen, the combined choirs of Adams, Clay, Riley, and Washington High Schools.
It was the first time in 24 years South Bend had elected a new mayor without an incumbent. Buttigieg won the Democratic primary in May and the general election and became the mayor of South Bend.
He may have been from South Bend, but he had been away. The political establishment in South Bend locally, really, he was not a key player. And so it was by the force of his own ideas and words that people started to talk about the fact that he might be a welcome change in South Bend.
Dr. Elizabeth Binion, political science professor at IU South Bend.
And although I've seen some national reporters joke about it, it's actually true that there were people in the audience at that time of those first primary forums saying, we think this guy may be president someday.
It was clear to all of us that this community was in for a transitional period. The first year of this administration has been a period of growth, change, renewal, and challenge for our city. We have been through a lot together in 2012.
If you look at our history, when we were a one-company town, and when Studebaker closed in the 60s, we've been suffering decades of decline ever since. And what we've been able to do over the last 8 years is turn the corner. Our population is growing modestly again. Incomes are starting to catch up to national and state averages. We've got a ways to go, but we're rising at a faster rate than those national and state averages.
So just a few years later, I'm very proud, as the mayor of South Bend, to report to you that our city's experiencing her fastest growth of population in a quarter century, that our downtown is seeing new residential units coming online, that we've addressed 1,000 vacant and abandoned houses.
The more intangible part of it is you feel an optimism around town that things are possible and things are going to get better.
Buttigieg at the Fells Institute of Government commencement.
Advanced manufacturing firms are shipping goods, not jobs, to Asia and around the world, while new industries like data analytics that didn't even exist when the last Studebaker rolled off the line are now creating jobs on the very acreage where the old factories stood.
Though some people credit the national economic turnaround with some of that success, Buttigieg's progressive ideals were apparent in some ideas that became policy.
Well, one of the things that the mayor has talked about and that we certainly see here in South Bend is this idea of being a pragmatic progressive. And so he really focuses on what he can do to move things forward toward the policies that he'd like to see. An example would be that our state of Indiana does not allow politicians at the city level to pass a higher minimum wage than the state or federal wage. And so what the mayor did was to decide that he would work to push through higher minimum wages for city employees. That was something he could control, even if he couldn't control it outside of that. The same was true with paid family leave for city employees.
I could not be more confident that this city will remain in good hands during my absence.
And because Buttigieg was in the Naval Reserve as an intelligence officer, his skills were needed overseas in 2014 when he spent several months deployed in Afghanistan.
Two things made that possible. One is that I've been able to recruit a really terrific team. So even though I wasn't here, the deputy mayor, whose job was to take my place while I was away, and all of the members of the staff and the employees of the city kept on doing their very important jobs.
From the We the Kids video.
The second thing that made it possible was communications. I had the benefit, even though I was very absorbed in my work over there, I had the benefit of being able to go online or trade emails with people at home. It made me feel closer to home and also created an opportunity to still be involved in government.
Though his supporters believe his first term as mayor was highly successful, a fundamental dispute with the city's first black police chief would come back to haunt him once Buttigieg decided to try and move up.
The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was about religious liberty, not about discrimination.
2015. Then-Governor Mike Pence confronts the blowback from RFRA.
I don't believe for a minute that it was the intention of the General Assembly to create a license to discriminate or a right to deny services to gays, lesbians, or anyone else in this state. And it certainly wasn't my intent. But I can appreciate that that's become the perception. I abhor discrimination. I believe in my heart of hearts that no one should be harassed or mistreated because of who they are, who they love, or what they believe.
Opposing RFRA as a progressive Democrat, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, we were up for re-election, and I was just ready. I was kind of done not being out, and so we didn't know what would happen. It's Indiana. It's a conservative place.
On Late Night with Seth Meyers.
But it turned out most people, there was a little bit of ugliness online and that sort of thing, but most people were either very supportive or they didn't care.
There really was not a strong negative reaction here.
Dr. Elizabeth Bennion, IU South Bend.
There were a handful of people, less than half a dozen, at the steps of the city courthouse after his announcement in the newspaper, his letter in the newspaper coming out. But other than that, there seemed to be a giant shrug. Many people saying, oh, I didn't know that, but he seems like he's doing a good job.
I'm generally fine with it. I do have a rule about the gym. My rule, like if I'm shaving, after a workout and somebody wants to talk about like the streetscape improvements that are going, I figure if I'm not wearing pants, I shouldn't have to talk about work.
Yeah.
I just think that's a fair rule.
Yeah.
Talk about work after.
Right.
Buttigieg's popularity grew during his second term. The man called the most interesting mayor you've never heard of by the Washington Post decided to try for a run as the chair of the Democratic National Committee. Though he withdrew from the race on the day of the election and it went to Tom Perez, former U.S. Secretary of Labor, Buttigieg was planning something even bigger.
He took office and immediately took a jackhammer to the foundations of American moral authority.
Coming up, an announcement explains why Buttigieg began to talk more about the president and national issues.
We spent so much time talking about the politicians, like that's what really matters.
Your chance to meet Pete.
We had double-digit unemployment. People were moving out, and our city was shrinking. And the neighborhood where I got started, not that far from the Golden Dome, had become a poster child for the so-called Rust Belt. And 7 years later, I am proud to report to you that our city is growing again.
You're listening to Meet Pete. In 2017, Pete Buttigieg tried for a national post for the first time as chair of the DNC. Even though that didn't work out in his favor, he was up for another, even bigger challenge.
I live with the knowledge that there are people in power today who would, if they could, deny my family the right legally even to exist for the simple reason that my spouse is a husband and not a wife.
His rhetoric changed. His speeches more bold in their criticism of President Trump and his administration.
As vice president, one heartbeat away from the Oval Office is a social extremist, the likes of which our country has not known in national office. Trust me, I know him.
Then Mayor Pete announced he was forming an exploratory committee, meaning he put together a team to research to see if a run for president was feasible.
Now, I belong to a generation that is stepping forward right now. We're the generation that lived through school shootings, that served in the wars after 9/11, and we're the generation that stands to be the first to make less than our parents
unless we do something different.
What amazes me are the number of aspirants that think they can make it through the gauntlet on the Democratic side.
Then brand new Republican Senator Mike Braun.
When it comes to anyone, including Pete, more power to them. We'll see what happens, and then we'll have to talk about what their plan is once they make it through the gauntlet.
I mean that he genuinely believes things that most of us would consider really far out.
Buttigieg, who professes Christianity, had taken issue with Vice President Mike Pence's views on gay marriage when he came out, both as gay and in opposition to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. In early 2019, what seemed like a mostly one-sided feud went national on late-night talk shows and in forums.
Did you work with Mike Pence?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the job of a mayor to work with anybody who can benefit the city. So
good guy? Would I like him?
If he's nice, I mean, if he were here, you'd think he's a nice guy to your face, but he's also just fanatical.
On The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
He really believes that, you know, cigarettes don't kill, and I think he seems to think the universe was created a few thousand years ago, and that people like me get up in the morning and decide to be gay. And the thing about it is, if that was a choice, it was a choice that was made way above my pay grade. And so what he doesn't realize is that his quarrel is with my creator. My marriage has moved me closer to God, and I wish he respected that.
What do you make of the period of time where he seemed to have this this very public feud going on with Mike Pence?
Well, I think that the mayor is, of course, very concerned about some of the positions that Mike Pence has taken regarding the LGBT community in particular.
Dr. Elizabeth Bennion, professor of political science at IU South Bend.
And he wanted to make that clear, that there is a difference between liking somebody on a personal level and agreeing with their policies. And one of the things that a lot of people may not know is when the city first looked at expanding its human rights ordinance, the mayor was not, in fact, supportive of moving too quickly on this issue. This is before he had come out. And there may have been a number of reasons he didn't want to be the champion. Once he was able to come out and tell people who he really was, I think he also felt an equal responsibility to move move those rights forward for others.
Truthfully, being Pete's husband has already been the adventure of a lifetime. I now live in a world where people take photos of me in the deodorant aisle at the grocery store.
Buttigieg had, by 2019, married his fiancée, Chasten, an arts teacher from Traverse City, Michigan. Chasten became what many people called a fundraising star.
But it is not lost on me that I was able to marry the man I love by the grace of one Supreme Court vote.
Is that fair to use you as the boogeyman?
I worked very closely with Mayor Pete when I was governor of the state of Indiana. We had a great working relationship.
The vice president on CNBC finally answered Buttigieg's challenges.
He said some things that are critical of my Christian faith and about me personally, and he knows better.
Would you say your views have evolved at all since then?
Look, the Supreme Court has made their decision.
So you accepted
it
as law?
And when I was governor of Indiana, we fully implemented that decision in the law. But, Joe, I have my Christian values. My family and I have a view of marriage that's informed by our faith, and we stand by that. But that doesn't mean that we're critical of anyone else who has a different point of view.
The case here is simple, that it's time for a new generation of leadership in our country, and that we can't nibble around the edges of a broken system.
The gates are supposed to open for that announcement at noon, and Buttigieg is supposed to start speaking at 2 o'clock.
The announcement was April 14th, 2019.
Up until recently, this was not exactly what I had in mind either, for how I was going to spend my 8th year as mayor and my 38th year in this world. But we live in a moment that compels us each to act. Our conservative friends care about freedom, but they only make it part of the way. They only see freedom from. Freedom from taxes, freedom from regulation. As though government were the only thing that can make somebody unfree.
But Buttigieg wasn't yet free from the implications of a decision he made in 2012, during his first term as mayor. several South Bend police officers had been secretly recorded. The police communications director said the officers made racist remarks and discussed possible illegal acts. Buttigieg demoted Police Chief Daryl Boykins, the city's first black chief. The communications director was fired for making the recordings, which may have violated the Federal Wiretap Act. Buttigieg and some parts of the black community were at odds. About one quarter of the city is black. Only 6% of the police department is black.
It actually wound up being used to devalue what the Black Lives Matter movement was telling us.
At the very beginning of his campaign for president, Buttigieg answered for having used the phrase, "All Lives Matter."
What I did not understand at that time was that that phrase, just early into mid, especially 2015, was coming to be viewed as a sort of counter-slogan to Black Lives Matter.
But in the summer of 2019, Buttigieg would face what may have been his biggest challenge as mayor, and much of the country was watching to see how he handled it.
My community is in anguish right now because of an officer-involved shooting, a black man, Eric Logan, killed by a white officer. And I'm not allowed to take sides until the investigation comes back. The officer said he was attacked with a knife, but he didn't have his body camera on. It's a mess. And we're hurting.
Everything that all of us do, we do in the shadow of systemic racism that has poisoned the relationship between communities of color and police departments.
Buttigieg's comments on systemic racism didn't set well with South Bend's Fraternal Order of Police, or much of the rank and file with the city police force, who felt they were being thrown under the bus, accused of being racist in front of the whole country.
On a national TV debate, the mayor called our entire police force racist, while another candidate insisted that Buttigieg fire the police chief.
FOP President Harvey Mills.
He refused to apologize. Instead, he sent us pizza. Our officers are brave men and women who put their life on the line for our community each day. We ask that instead of delivering pizza, the mayor deliver some respect for what police officers do and drop the politics. If this was a lame attempt to apologize to South Bend police officers, it didn't go over very well.
Get the people that are racist off the streets.
Buttigieg faced angry people at a town hall.
If anyone who is on patrol is shown to be a racist or to do something racist in a way that is substantiated, that is their last day on the street.
We have tried but not succeeded to increase diversity in the police department, and we need help.
I am Michael Patton. I am from South Bend, Indiana. I am the president of the South Bend NAACP.
He was not without support from African Americans.
Mayor Pete has been instrumental in establishing entrepreneurial opportunities within our community. Grateful to Mayor Pete for what he's done to come alongside of our Business Resource Center on the west side of the city to help create entrepreneurship and give people hope.
My relationship with him since I've been on council, and what he has done with the council and within my district has been tremendous. And I think you can ask a lot of the residents in the 3rd District, and they would tell you the same.
Nonetheless, the perceptions created during those summer months would remain with Buttigieg as he campaigned across the country, answering questions in town halls and on debate stages in what would lead up to the year 2020 and the biggest challenge of his political and personal life so far.
I'm offering you a presidency where when you look at the news every day and see the White House, your blood pressure goes down a little bit instead of up through the roof.
You're listening to Meet Pete.
I think it does say a lot about his appeal. He was someone, you know, as a mayor of South Bend, you know, not even the biggest city in the state of Indiana, that wasn't sure would he be able to get the name recognition? Would he be able to appeal to people outside of our state and our region?
Dr. Laura Wilson, political science professor at the University of Indianapolis.
And clearly he's been able to build some traction.
It would serve us well, I think, to have somebody who has the experience of actually leading a community on the ground. Get Washington to look more like our best-run cities, not the other way around.
You're listening to Meet Pete.
Secondly, I think there's something to be said for somebody from the middle of the country representing our party.
You've heard about Pete Buttigieg's life and election, and even some of his difficulties. But what about his policies?
We know how to deliver freedom and security, provided we have a better democracy.
Maybe even a democracy where we pick our president by just counting up all the votes and giving it to the person who got the most.
To see in Alabama that if someone is raped and she seeks an abortion, the doctor who treats her will be penalized with a longer prison term than her rapist makes me question whether the discussion about freedom in this country has gone off the rails.
You're not free if you don't have health care. That's why we must insist on universal health care, and my vision of Medicare for all who want it allows you to have the freedom that comes with knowing where your health care is going to come from.
Buttigieg differs from his Democrat counterparts on his vision for a health care system run partially by the government and still by private companies for people who want to keep what they have.
So I'm proposing Medicare for all who want it.
And it's different from Medicare for All. On CNN, Buttigieg says his plan would accomplish everything Medicare for All sets out to accomplish, but with one key difference.
I just don't think it's a good idea to command Americans to adopt Medicare for All, whether they want it or not.
Which is why Buttigieg says under his proposal, you'd be able to choose whether you want a private or public plan. But he believes the public plans will outcompete the private ones.
It's just socialized medicine. I mean, literally. And the cost of that, trillions of dollars of cost, the kind of tax increases we'd have to face, the worsening health care coverage for Americans. You only need to look at the socialized system in Canada to understand the deficiencies of socialized medicine.
We've been appointing conservative judges to our courts at every level. And my hope is that someday we will see the sanctity of life restored to the center of American law.
Just the opposite of the vice president?
First of all, and the simplest thing, is appointing justices and judges who recognize that that is part of American freedom.
Buttigieg's view on abortion.
Another is to make sure that we're not starving America of resources, not just for that kind of reproductive care, abortion care, but all kinds of reproductive care. If we really care about women, if we really care about life, then we've got to make sure from common sense sex education to access to birth control that we're preventing many of those unwanted pregnancies from happening in the first place.
To him, the government shouldn't be in control of whether or not a woman can get an abortion.
Now, I come from Indiana as a Democrat. There are people I love, people I trust, people who support me politically, who view this issue differently than I do. That I don't think that you are free in this country if your reproductive health can be criminalized by government dictators. This is not an easy choice for anybody to face. And I would be loath to tell anybody facing that situation what the right thing to do is. I'm a government official. I don't view myself as belonging in that conversation. And let's pick our heads up to face what might be the greatest security issue of our time. Climate change and climate disruption.
It's a lot more investment in renewable energy, energy storage, and carbon storage.
Pete Buttigieg's plan for a clean economy includes doubling the number of power plants generating clean energy by 2025, zero emissions for all new cars and trucks by 2035.
And then there are other steps that kick in by 2030, 2040, so that we can get to the goal by 2050 of a net carbon neutral society, even with industry. Brought into that realm.
And achieving zero emissions for industry and manufacturing by 2050. He also says building an economy based on clean energy is key to achieving each of those goals. But Buttigieg has gotten a fair amount of criticism for his practices, if not his policies, on climate.
No Democrat presidential candidate has done more flying than South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. According to the Associated Press, Buttigieg has spent roughly $300,000 on private jet flights since announcing his intention to run for president. That's more than any other candidate.
See some inaccurate information going up here, so let's dispatch with that real quick. I've taken the fossil fuel pledge, and I am determined to bring about solutions on climate change. Thanks for coming. We want the same things. I can't make out your song, but we definitely want the same things.
On gun control,
I spent too much time comforting the mothers of victims of violence.
He's talked about taking what he calls weapons of war off the streets, guns that some people call assault weapons.
If we want our neighborhoods not to be war zones, then we shouldn't
fill them with the weapons that belong only in war zones, and we hope will one day not belong anywhere at all.
Americans want universal background checks, red flag laws, and do something about weapons of war on our streets. That is totally compatible with our Constitution, and it is necessary for our national security.
And with policies on health care and the economy.
It ought to be affordable in this country to not go to college. You ought to still be able to earn a good wage if you're willing to work hard.
The former mayor of South Bend is also trying to change perceptions and the way he is viewed by black Americans.
No one could find any indication that he is not, for civil rights and human values, and he certainly is.
South Bend Tribune columnist Jack Colwell in an interview with Indy Politics.
But in terms of just being able to talk to your average African American voter, he kind of talks a different language. And part of that is because of the way he grew up, Rhodes Scholar. Going to Oxford, so he just hasn't really been able to communicate effectively with blacks. Now he's certainly trying to. He has you've heard about the Douglas plan that he's unveiled to try to improve the economic conditions in African American areas. In his city and really all around the country.
When I get a chance to tell people about what's in our plan for wages and unions, what's in the Douglas plan for black America, we know it gets a great response, but I got to go out there and actually communicate it.
And then you have a young guy, Buttigieg. They're saying how to say his name, Buttigieg.
But someone who may never change his viewpoint on his opponent is President Trump.
He's a beauty. He runs a failed city. His city is doing so badly.
The president, his style of dealing with political opponents tends to be dismissive with nicknames and suggesting that they are all weak and in no way a threat to him.
Dr. Elizabeth Bennion, political science professor at IU South Bend.
Mike Pence was the governor of that state. I said, how was he as the mayor? He said, and Mike said, he never did a good job. I'm so shocked to see him run.
So the mayor should perhaps consider that a compliment, that he's seen as somebody who's on par with the other folks who are challenging the president. But it's also the case that historically, we have not seen mayors become presidents. And things have changed that make it more likely that we will someday have a mayor as president. But historically, people could be forgiven for writing off mayors.
While President Trump has seemingly written Buttigieg off, calling him Alfred E. Newman, the longtime Mad Magazine mascot, Buttigieg must be prepared to face him. Were he to become the Democrat nominee, Trump's formidable presence and voter base would be the ultimate challenge.
The people are with us on issue after issue, from choice to climate.
And Buttigieg says he is out to change minds and mindset.
Which is exactly why their current strategy is to change the subject.
Buttigieg's friend and successor, South Bend Mayor James Mueller, is confident in his calling.
I don't know exactly what it is about him, but there is a sense when you're around him or if you work for him that there's something that seems impossible is possible. And so you look at even his presidential run now. A year ago, people probably wouldn't have given him much of a shot. But here we are. It seems like he's got a chance.
My plan to win is not just about taking the presidency. Is it about changing the national conversation in the name of our values? Breaking the spell that has anybody believing that values is a conservative word.
Meet Pete, written and produced by Chris Davis, with special thanks to Dr. Elizabeth Bennion and Mayor James Mueller.